Welcome to the Peace Apostolic Ministries podcast. For more information about Peace or other resources from John Alley, visit peace.org.au. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at our website, peace.org.au/give, or use the donate button in our app. Thanks for joining with us today. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Father, we do thank you. We're very mindful today as we stand here together of the goodness of God, an eternal goodness. From eternity past, you had us in view because of your great love, because of the holy love of a holy God. I thank you, Lord, for the way in which you took a hold of us. You redeemed us even after the fall of man. We thank you for our Savior. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Word of Truth. And today, Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth, be the Spirit of Truth in the hearing of us all. I thank you that you hear our prayers. Your grace for understanding rest upon us each right now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friends, please be seated. And later than usual, yes it is, but we're going to finish right on time. And there have been two things that have been very much on my mind. Thank you very much. What a great idea. Still, no point. Hello. Get up high. That's the idea. Right. No point standing when you can sit. Have you ever read your Bibles? It says that Jesus sat and all the people stood. So we're going to do this biblically. You should all be standing up. Well, I get to relax and think about what I'm going to say, maybe. Anyway, dear friends, no, I'm still, you know, recovering from this surgery and whatnot, but I might get used to this, stay put in the chair. Two things have been on my mind. One was that, and you might remember a few weeks ago, I spoke to you about how to address God in prayer in a way that was more from the heart, more warm and more personal. Because I hear too often, particularly amongst young people, you know, who've been around the church a while and they've been in prayer meetings for a while, but they still, when they pray, tend to just say, God, God do this and God do that and God, we pray that. And they haven't kind of gone beyond that. And yet for myself, I find the word God, when that's the only way you address the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit, as a bit raw and a bit impersonal. And there should be a whole lot more warmth and a whole lot more understanding of not just what the Bible has to say about prayer, but your whole approach to prayer, your whole beginning to speak to the Lord should be quite personal in a way in which you know how to take hold of his name and begin talking to him. And I had, you know, I spoke about that for a few minutes here a few Sundays ago, and the fact that I personally never called God just God. And I don't think you should. I don't think anybody should, so I'm sending out a signal here for the second time. Just start to learn a bit more about prayer. And the other thing that's been on my mind is this. Years and years ago, I was in Toowoomba when a lady that got chatting with me after one of the meetings, I was doing a whole series of meetings there, and she got chatting with me about an author called P.T. Forsyth. And P.T. Forsyth was a congregational minister in England. He rose to be, I think, the head of the denomination, but he was a great theologian, academic, you know, but had just a wonderful heart, wonderful mind. And she mentioned his books, and she mentioned one book in particular called God the Holy Father. Now, that phrase just moved me, just the phrase. And I've never forgotten the phrase, and I think about it to this day, God, the Holy Father. And I wanted to get the book. And I went looking and I found some other books by P.T. Forsyth that someone had republished in more recent times, because this fellow, he lectured way back in the 1920s and into the 1800s, like the, all through that early part of last century. And I found some other books. The Work of Christ is a book I often pick up and read a little bit of. Preaching in the Modern Mind, written 100 years ago, but you know, very, very interesting. And but this book, God the Holy Father, I could not find anywhere. And even though I searched for it, and it was a disappointment to me, but this phrase, God the Holy Father, kept eating at me. It's probably the wrong expression. I find something there that can't be explained. Something so beautiful, so eternal, so almost beyond any depth we know. This is not just God the Father, God the Holy Father. And I've often pondered it, and anyway, I've been cleaning up my office, and you'd never guess what I found. Hidden amongst all my books, this little green book published about 100 years ago, God the Holy Father, by P.T. Forsyth. Have I read it yet? No, but I'm clinging to it. And as soon as I get out of here, get home this afternoon, you know, breakfast, lunch and dinner all in one little book. These were the book I gather from reading the introduction. The chapters are a series of lectures he gave back about the year 1900. And the first one was given that title. But anyway, as I say, it got me thinking, and I can't even tell you what he had to say about the subject, but I want to start exploring with you this whole question of God the Father and in fact, God. And so I want you to sit with me here for 20 or 30 minutes and just start to ponder the God who deals with us, the God with whom we have to deal. The God that hopefully most of you know somewhat. But you can know him more. And that's the whole point, isn't it? That you would come to know him more by walking with him. So here's our first question. Here's the thing I went looking for. Not that I didn't kind of already know, but you need to know something for sure. And I started with these two questions. One, how did Jesus himself, how did Jesus address God in prayer? And two, how did Jesus speak of God when he was speaking to others about God? What do you think you find? What you find, and I'm talking about now hundreds of references. You start looking, oh dear, the Gospels, so full of it. Hundreds of references. And everywhere what you find is Jesus, when he speaks to God the Father, calls him Father. And I'll show you a couple of examples. But even more interestingly, when he speaks to his apostles and when he speaks to his disciples, when he speaks to the crowds, not only about his relationship with God, but about their relationship with God, he always refers to him as the Father. And you find it everywhere. In fact, if you do a Bible search and you just search the word Father, and you just say a search on the Gospel of John, and when you flick through, you know, because with the computers, the word's highlighted in the text all over the place, it's astounding. Just everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Of course, a few others fathers get referred to anyway. But let me quote you a few examples of Jesus in prayer. So they took away the stone, it says. Now, what stone are we talking about? The one on Lazarus's tomb, not Jesus' tomb. This is John 11. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, now, it's not just how he addresses the Lord that's informative here, but what he says. He says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. You know, the Bible tells us that if God hears our prayer, we know that we have the thing we asked of him. Where do you find that? 1 John 5, verse 14. John, the Apostle John said, this is the confidence we have in him. Confidence. That if he hears us in what we ask, we have the thing he asked of us. I often in my own prayers, if you want to learn to pray, these are some things you've got to learn to do. I very often in my own prayers will say, Father, I thank you that you hear my prayers. I say it all the time. There's hardly a day. I thank the Lord, he hears my prayers. And then I'm forever thanking him, I have the thing I've asked him for. And it's why I get a lot of prayers answered. So Jesus says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. Now, what's the Father heard him about? He's already prayed about Lazarus being here in the tomb. But then he adds this, I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Yeah, there's always a need for the world to know and to understand, and Jesus often referred to that. He often said he did things or said things so that the world. In fact, one of the reasons he said he was going to go to the cross, even though he didn't feel like it, was he said the world must learn that I love the Father. On another occasion, Jesus prayed, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Now, there's a slightly longer title. Mostly, he just says Father. But every now and again, he puts in a longer title. Did you hear this one? Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I praise you because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. On another occasion, he said, now he said this to the crowd or to his own followers. He said, now my heart is troubled. He's facing the cross. Because this is John 12. It was John 11 where he dealt the whole Lazarus thing. That means he's within a week or two of the cross. So John 12, he's now really facing the cross. Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And what about his advice to us? He says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And then he says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Which means the first prayer request you make of God is that his name would be known in the earth. Hallowed be your name. Your name revered. Your name holy. You know, let God be feared and known in the world. In Matthew 26, we've got the account of him in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father. Now here we come across a slightly different phrase. He says, my Father, and he says it twice. And during worship, I went to my knees here this morning to seek the Lord, and I started to pray, and then I stopped and heard what I was saying, because you normally don't stop and note it, but I did. And I discovered I was praying like this. It's not the phrase I use all the time, but it was, so the Holy Spirit will design the expressions to suit the occasion, suit the prayer, and suit the spot you're at that particular time. And I found myself saying, you know, my Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. But here's how Jesus prayed, my Father. Now, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you'll not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. Why is it that in all these gospel accounts, he mostly prays Father, or Father, Lord of heaven and earth? And in a moment, I'm going to show you one other phrase he uses. But why on this occasion, the Gethsemane occasion, do we have this example of him twice over praying, My Father? I'll tell you why. He was distressed. He was emotionally under a great deal of stress and pain. And it's times like that you're far more likely to cling to God, to hold to God, and find yourself uttering expressions like this. You know, My Father. And Jesus did, and I find myself doing it on various occasions. Now, even on the cross, Luke 23, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. And then later on, a few verses later, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus knew who he was, and he knew who the Father was, and he knew how to address him, and he knew how to believe God, and it's what you and I are meant to learn as well. Now, just one more thing on this point. I want to take you to John 17. The whole chapter, John 17, is a prayer that Jesus prayed in the upper room before he went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's a longish prayer. And he, first of all, he prays about his own relationship with God the Father. And then he prays about his 11 apostles, his faithful 11. And then he prays for you and I, all those who will believe because of the witness of his apostles. So you've got this lengthy prayer in which the whole thing is him addressing God the Father, and there are numbers of occasions through the prayer where he calls him by name, that is some form of address. And this is what I want you to see, that this is where we get this unique expression. So verse 1, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. So he's straight into the presence of God. He knew who he was. He knew who the Lord, the Father was. He knew his words are heard. He knew that God, Father was with him. The Father never left him. Verse 5, he says again, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. But when we get to verse 11, we find this phrase enriched. And somehow I'm going to have to help you come to grips with what is behind this. Not necessarily today, but he says to the Father, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world and I am coming to you. Holy Father. You see that phrase? Now, this book I mentioned, which title has stirred me so much for years, God the Holy Father, here it is, right here. It comes from Jesus' prayer. But there's a wealth, there's an eternity of richness behind this phrase. Let me just finish these few verses and talk in general about it. Holy Father, Holy Father, protect them. Listen, there's nothing to stop you addressing God like this. Holy Father, eternal Father, loving Father. Now you can speak to the Lord in lots of other ways, but this is one way open to you, to come to find prayer more personal. Now, of course, it has to also be reverential. You know, we don't take God for granted, but you've got to know his heart toward you, and you have a heart toward him, and you can enter into the richest of fellowship with God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In verse 21, He says again, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I in you. In verse 24, he says again, Father, I want you, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am. But finally, in verse 25, we have a variation on Holy Father. He says, Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. Could I take a moment, please, to introduce you to the Father? Think for a moment about Jesus. When you think about the Lord Jesus, if you were to sit and try and list the qualities of Christ, now this is harder than you might think. You know why? Because we generally have a big heart picture, which can have a lot of accuracy in it. But when you try to set something down and you try to define it, that's much more difficult. It's a lot easier just to talk about something than to write a book. But if you would think for a moment, what do you know about Jesus? What do most people think when they think of Jesus? Most people think of someone as kind and loving and, you know, gracious and patient and caring and tender. And Jesus is all of those things. And you think about the tenderness he showed towards children and the care he showed about the poor and the infirm and, you know, went around doing good itself, it said, and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. But think beyond that. Think how willing he was to tire himself out in this work. He became tired. And think about the trouble he went to make sure he was wherever the Lord wanted him to be at any given time. He came into human... See, he didn't wait in human history until ice cream and air conditioning and jumbo jets had been invented. He came into human history at the earliest possible time that he could do the work he had to do. He came into a time in human history when things were brutal, when there were no flushing toilets. You know, your life was very basic indeed. There's no comfortable clothing, no comfortable shoes, no comfortable chairs to sit on. The Son of God was willing to live a very uncomfortable life along with us so that he might lay down a redemption in his own blood as early as possible in human history so that the great bulk of human history could benefit from it. And this person, Christ, had the most exemplary character, always sure of who he was, absolutely clear on his purpose, not simply trying to be or have better character, but having fully formed character as a man, the fully accomplished man. Why was Jesus like this? And you could say more. Because he was so not only devoted to the truth, he was emboldened by the truth. In the midst of the greatest danger, he would still speak what was true. At the same time, he could judge between what was right and wrong and point it out to people, and yet with the greatest kindness, and knowing all the while that ultimately the day would come when he would be the judge of every single person who's ever lived on the planet. Now, there's much more to Jesus than you think. But when you think about his love and his character, the kind of person Jesus was, how did Jesus present? Think of the way he speaks with Mary, you know, after his resurrection. Mary, he says. She weeps. Think of the way he dealt with Peter in the restoration of Peter's heart to being assured by his love. No, this is a very personal person. And I myself have discovered in the course of life, it's taken 40 years and 50 years, but I have discovered that God is much more personal, much more warm. He's more like we would want to be than we could ever imagine. But here's my point. When you think about the kind of accomplished character Jesus is and how much the sinners loved him, how much the outcasts of society loved him and felt safe in his presence, Ask yourself, come on, we're now getting to the pointy end of the question. Ask yourself, why was Jesus like that? And you know what the answer is? There's only one answer. Jesus was like that because that's what his Father is like. Jesus is not different in personality or character or goals than his Father, and Jesus was exactly the way he was in the earth because that is exactly what God the Father is like. And yet we have a lot of people who think that Jesus is nice but the Father is tough, or Jesus is kind and will let you off but the Father's a severe judge. Listen, the Father's not your judge, Jesus is your judge. Read the Bible. Bibles, Jesus himself says the Father has entrusted all judgment to the Son. And if you're a believer, it is before the judgment seat of Christ that you will stand. Dear friends, all the joy that you find in Jesus is in Jesus because the Father is exactly like it, and because Christ so perfectly represents and resembles God the Father. I'm trying to introduce you to the Father, perhaps a Father you've never known. Here's what Jesus said. If you really knew me, now who said this? Jesus. If you really knew me, you would know my Father. Did you know he said that? Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? It's the Father speaking there, right? What did Philip say? Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that? Now, for those who might be tempted to think that, oh, on the basis of those few words, Father and Son must be the same person. No, Father and Son are not the same person. Two different people. One God, but two different people here. So Jesus adds these words, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And then he adds this really important statement. He says, the words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. Puts a whole better complexion, or should, on your view of God the Father. In fact, the more you read the Scripture, the more you find that Jesus was given to you by the Father, the Holy Spirit was given to you by the Father, you being chosen for salvation, you were chosen by the Father. You being given by a grace in which you stand so that you have access to his presence was given to you by the Father. In fact, all things you have were given to you by God the Father, including the fact that you have such a wonderful Savior that you can walk with and in whose name you can do pretty much anything. Time's almost up here, but I have to introduce a third element. Because God is not just two people, but three. And we just happen to be dealing with something that is a very, very holy community. When you speak about the Holy Trinity, Trinity means triunity, three in one. You are talking about a communion or a community of perfect holiness. I should make this point because I haven't said much about God, the Holy Father yet, but could I make this point? Just so that you're clear about something. You've all heard again and again and again that God is love, have you not? In fact, the Bible says so. It's right there in the first epistle of John. God is love. But do you know why he's love? Do you know where his love comes from? See, the love isn't, it doesn't stand alone. It's not the love of God that generates the love of God. But there is something about God that perfects his love. Do you know what it is? It's his holiness. God is love because he is God the Holy Father. And that's what needs to be explored. God the Holy Father. So holiness must mean something more than, better than anything you ever thought. And you're called to share that holiness, but you can't ever really be holy if you're independent. You can only be holy if you learn the way of love and build your life into the lives of others and let them build their lives in with you and so on. But we'll talk more about that another time. I just need to close in a minute. And before I do, I must show you something of the Holy Spirit. So here are four statements from Scripture. And I want you to see if you can work out the puzzle, because, and you might all end up with a different opinion. Do you know that historically, there came a time when the church had a controversy amongst theologians and leaders and split into East and West divisions of the church? So you ended up with the Orthodox Church Catholic. Over the question, we'd think it was silly to split up on this today, but the question was, did the Holy Spirit proceed from the Father, or did the Holy Spirit proceed from the Father and the Son? A deep and difficult theological question, right? So I'm going to give you four statements from Scripture, and you tell me what it looks like. And personally, I don't think you can get a wrong answer. I think you can go either way. However, here's what Scripture says. First of all, Jesus speaking, "If you love me, you'll obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." This is John 14 and 15 to 17. Man, there's so much in there. We can't stop. So let me just repeat the telling phrase again. Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, the Spirit of truth." So what's our picture from this verse? That Jesus is going to make a request of the Father to give us the Holy Spirit. Here's the second one, only 10 verses later. Jesus said, "All this I've spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." Here's the third one, only a verse later. "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." Read that whole phrase again. "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you," Jesus says, "from the Father, who goes out from the Father." Who'd want to be a theologian? "He will testify about me." And here's the fourth one from Acts 2:33. Peter is preaching. Wonderful. Peter's got a handle on it. He says, "Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received," who's the he? Jesus. "He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear." Do you know what I find in Scriptures everywhere? I find it's very hard to separate in the outworking of our salvation and our interaction with God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And why is that? Because they're all in. And I'll show you a verse in closing that kind of confirms it. Now, I don't know what you make of this, whether you think the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father only or whether the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. But certainly all of those Scriptures put a huge emphasis on the Father, with Jesus asking for the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit from the Father, but then the Father sending out the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Interesting, isn't it? Creation of the world was no different, because God the Father spoke His will, but it was Jesus who was the Logos, the Word of God. So it was Jesus who created the world, but then it says it was the Spirit of God hovering on the waters. You find this everywhere. Three persons. And you can say, well, who do you pray to? Do you pray to Jesus? You know, do you pray to Father? Do you pray to the Holy Spirit? Sometimes you do pray. There are times I will ask something of the Holy Spirit and get an immediate response. There are plenty of things I ask of the Lord Jesus. But I know that in general, we pray to God the Father in the name of the Son, knowing that all things are bound up in the Father. Here's a scripture that shows all three. Ephesians 2:18. And yesterday, look, I haven't even had time to explore how you could possibly teach this in a way that would open up such dimensions of reality to you. But yesterday morning, as I was getting ready to leave Burleigh Heads, pack the car, I heard the Lord say something to me that opened up my own faith and my own prayer life to a whole new dimension of authority. Even though the truth has been there from the day I was saved, even though it's written in Scripture for every believer and you can all tap into it, yet I know as you walk with God, He will open doors bigger than they ever were before. And He opened something to me yesterday that I know I can take hold of. But I'd also like to be able to explain it to you and bring it into you, except I can't explain it to you today. But it's found in the... You know what I heard? Yesterday, I heard Him say to me, you have access to the Father. That shifted a whole world of meaning. Access to the Father. And if you knew the reality of this, if you knew this was true, there'd be nothing could keep you from shutting the door and talking to God. It's found in Ephesians 2:18. And it's talking about every believer, actually. It says, for through Him, now the Him is the Jesus. Take a look, it's there on the screen. For through Him we both. The both is referring to Jew and Gentile. It means every believer, no matter who you are. For through Him, that's Jesus, we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit. Do you notice in this simple little statement, you've got Jesus, you've got the Father, and you've got the Holy Spirit. Christian life requires it all. God is never one person and can't be God if He was only one. I have to explain that some other time. We'll close with this scripture. I just leave it before you, because time is gone and you've had enough to think about. What I'm basically doing is encouraging you to believe that your whole approach to God should be more heartfelt, more warm, more personal. Take hold of Him. Believe. Call. Develop ways of addressing Him. Very often in the middle of my prayers, I'm calling Him Holy God. I'll never just say God, but He's a holy God. Anyway, here's not just a promise, it's a clear statement of truth. Through Him, we have access to the Father by one Spirit. You can walk into the presence of God anywhere, anytime. Can you remember this little phrase and just say, I have access to the Father by the Holy Spirit. And you have to remember the part that it's through Jesus. I have access to the Father. If you remember nothing else today, can you try and memorize this? I have access to the Father by the Holy Spirit. Because if you can position yourself to be personal with Him, and to believe that your prayers are heard, you will get answers to your prayers. That's what faith is all about. So I'm going to ask the musicians to come, and in a moment we'll sing. And I know that even now, many of you have needs, don't we all? And we're going to bring those needs to God in prayer. The Spirit of God is present. And I want you to step into faith with me. I was in a meeting once. It was in 1993, and it was in Melbourne, and it was a very large church. 1,500 people were present. And I was asked to preach an evangelistic message this Sunday night, but the leaders of that church told me that I was not allowed to pray for the sick. In other words, they didn't want any of that charismatic stuff. It was a big Baptist church, and I was a Baptist pastor, and they were conservative, and I was not so conservative, and they didn't want the non-conservative element presenting itself, but they wanted me to preach the gospel. And they were good people, and I loved them. And I wanted to respect them. I wanted to serve them well. So I had to think about, how am I going to heal the sick without healing the sick? because I knew darn well the Lord wanted to heal the sick. So I came up with a way of doing that. I preached and gave the gospel appeal, and there were about 14 people who responded to that, including the senior pastor's son. And then I knew somehow that by the power of the Holy Spirit we needed to meet all this other need that was present, and yet I wasn't allowed to call them forward and give laying on of hands. So what I said to that crowd was, all of us have needs. Now that was true then, and it's true here this morning. All of us have needs. There are many needs present. There are family needs, financial needs, health needs, and other needs. And I said, we're going to pray and ask the Lord to meet those needs. I just asked everybody to stand right where they were. In fact, I said then, anyone who feels they have any need at all, just come forward. So actually, we filled the whole front and all the aisles, three quarters of the way back, filled with, you know, two thirds of the church. Of course they all had needs. And I prayed a single prayer and released the power of the Holy Spirit to meet those needs. And the most amazing miracles took place. That's because there was an anointing present, and the anointing healed them. One young lady who had a secret, who'd been suffering with, can't think of the name of it now, but she had kept it a secret. Nobody in the church knew she had this disorder except her parents, and she was instantly healed, and she was here down the front. And another lady who had duodenal ulcer, was very, very painful. She didn't even come forward or get in the prayer line, and she was in the very back row with her husband, who was a businessman, and she was healed. And in fact, she said that it was like a great ball of white light that came out of the presence of the Lord and surrounded her and her husband. She was totally healed. See, the Lord can do this by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to pray now and bring our needs to the Lord. I'm going to invite you to stand. And we're in the presence of God. And I want you to start believing He hears our prayers. And no matter what the need is, I want you to believe the Lord hears your prayer, whether you see the outcomes in this minute No, we've seen plenty of prayers that the answer turned up later in the day or the next morning or even later. There was something I started believing the Lord for years ago, right here in this building. And I knew it was a big thing, but I kept believing, and 18 months later, I was given that thing. I stepped into that thing. The idea is you start believing God and you don't quit. And you keep pressing into His name. So I want each of you now in faith believing God this morning. And Father, I thank You. We can stand here in the presence of God. Almighty Father, Eternal Father, God the Holy Father, I thank You for Your holiness. Because of Your holiness, Your love does not change. And You're every day the same. You're not a capricious God of kind 1 minute and mean the next. No, You're a holy God. And so Your word is always true. And Your promises are always kept. Your Spirit is given to us, and we can so totally rely upon and trust all Your dealings in our lives, even when we don't understand them, because You're a holy God. Oh, I thank God. I thank You, Lord, for Your holiness. And I thank You that You're present here today, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, present with us. The love of God the Father and the love of God the Son, brought fully into our lives by the Holy Spirit, so that we know You, mighty, holy, three in one, living God. Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You for the love of God the Son. Thank You for the ministry and service of the Holy Spirit. And thank You for the word that's been given to us. And amongst other words, You said He sent His word and healed them. And what words was that? Lord, You've sent many words to us. You said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. And that by His stripes were healed. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who's sick. And so, Father, I thank You there's healing anointing here present this morning. And I pray for all of those standing here today who have needs in the body, needs for healing, or in their family. And I thank You that there is healing power flowing through the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit. I thank You for the healing virtue of Jesus. And we receive it from Your hand. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, in answer to every heart today, in answer to every believing prayer, I release it, I send it out, the healing virtue of Jesus. Let it take hold of you and begin right now to heal your bodies. I thank You, Lord, pain goes and joints heal and heart conditions and blood conditions and every other thing, every organ in the body healed and made whole and well. I thank You, Lord, for the strengthening of life and limb and of strengthening of the faith of the believers. We stand in faith today believing. And Father, I ask concerning those who need jobs or work or their businesses to succeed, I ask grace for them today to bless and provide. For those who have family needs and relationship needs, let the peace of the Lord Jesus come right now, rest upon those relationships and upon the hearts of those individuals who have been estranged. Lord, bring healing. Healing in homes, healing in marriages, healing in hearts and minds. Healing in communities and neighborhoods, I thank You. And now, Lord, with regard to other need, probably all of you have practical needs too, whether it's to do with cars or houses or money or some other equipment. I want you to start believing the Lord who's able to guide you and position you and provide for you. Just put it before Him right now. The needs you have, it might be a need in the house. You need carpet and can't afford it. You need furniture and can't afford it. No, you're going to start trusting the Lord to provide for you. Lord, I thank You. Your provision is toward your people. We remember the Lord Jesus said with regard to the lilies of the field, even Solomon was not dressed as well as that. And that's the Gentiles who are always worried about what they'll eat and drink and wear. But you said our Father would provide it for us if we would seek your face. Lord, we seek your face today. We seek your righteousness. We seek the kingdom. And I'm asking now with respect to all our people gathered here today that you would meet their needs in accordance with the prayer and the faith offered to you today. So I commend them now to your care. And in Jesus' name, I release providence and I release miracles to all the believers in Christ's name. Now, Lord, your blessing of peace upon every home, every heart, every family. Grace, peace, and mercy be heaped up upon the church of God in this city. We commend ourselves, O Lord, to you, to your care and to your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, amen. Well, we sing together. Lead us in a song in closing, and then, friends, it's morning tea together.